Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Happy election, not election day. Happy Thursday, Northern Colorado. Welcome into NoCo Now. Not election day, but could it be decision day? Maybe. Probably not, though. Could it go into tonight? Absolutely. Could it go into tomorrow? Absolutely. Could the legal battles go for a couple of months? Absolutely. But welcome in. We'll dive into all of that and much, much more as we have a busy show here tonight. Really looking forward to it as well. We've got some great interviews, got a lot to work through. Of course, this is our first show since the election. So we were getting updates on some of these propositions that were on the ballot that are finally getting decided. Some that hadn't been decided still, and we're talking about a statewide level. There are some very incredibly close ones. A couple have just been called. So we'll work through what everybody saw on their ballots and which way those ended up getting decided. We'll do that. That will take place of news for Northern Colorado today. So we will be jumping into all of that here in just a couple of moments. Linda will be joining us in the second segment. Linda is with Field of Honor. So this is a really, really neat event coming up, and Linda has helped put this event on all over the nation. It's a nationwide event, but now it's happening in Fort Lupton, and it's a tribute to heroes, of course, our military heroes. It's coming up here on Saturday, November 7th. There's the first one is the opening ceremony Saturday, November 7th, Wednesday, November 11th at 1 p.m. That's Veterans Day. And then the closing ceremony will be Saturday, November 14th, that will be taking place. It's awesome, and we'll talk with Linda all about this and how you can be a part of it, how you can experience it, where it's going to be, everything like that. We'll get all of that information from Linda in the second segment. We're going to double dip this week. Chris Vanderveen, Director of Reporting for 9 News. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't know at all, but we're going to talk with Chris Vanderveen. We've got national election results, what he thinks about the journalism. Integrity that's been going on, you know, behind closed doors, and how things have been pushed out to the people, and if he sees an issue with this, we'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him. COVID numbers, it's still not good. We have officially surpassed the highest number of hospitalizations in Colorado since COVID-19 started. So we did pass that today. We'll talk to him a little bit about COVID, and we'll also dive in to there was a protest that was held in Denver last night. We'll get more information from him on that, as well as local Colorado ballot initiative. So, you know, when I said I was a little concerned that we might not have anything to talk about, yeah, we're going to have plenty to dive into with Chris Vanderveen later on. We'll get to the headline that caught my eye, although I think that we all kind of know what that headline might be. Let's start with some of these ballot initiatives that we worked through, of course, on election night. Hope you joined us then on Tuesday evening. It was a fun night with Gail Fallon and myself. Got a chance to talk to some of our local officials who did get reelected for Mike Freeman and Perry Buck. Perry Buck did get elected as well, so she will be on the county commissioner board. Lori Sane also going to be on the Weld County Commissioner's Commission as well. But let's go through the statewide ballot initiatives. What got voted through? What did not? Amendment 76, that's the citizenship qualification of voters. It read, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution requiring that to be qualified to vote at any election, an individual must be a United States citizen? This passed with a resounding yes vote, 63% to 37%. I think that this is why this got voted so clearly yes for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons I believe, is that how simply it was written. It was very well just put out there. Here's the question. What do you think of this? Yes or no? And a lot of Coloradoans say, yeah, you should be an American citizen to be voting in our elections. Or, excuse me, yeah, I should be a United States citizen to be voting in a Colorado election. Amendment 77, that was the local voter approval of casino bet limits in games in Blackhawk, Central City, and Cripple Creek, meaning that that will now be up to the citizens of those cities to say, okay, the maximum bet level can be 1,000 or 150 instead of 100. They will be able to set that. They can also introduce new games. 60% vote yes on this, 40% no. So this passes as well. Not really a surprise. Colorado is starting to get more and more lenient on gambling. You saw sports gambling get legalized here. You're starting to see more of this happen. So that passed with a resounding yes as well. Amendment B, this is the Gallagher repeal, the prop tax. This one was going to be close, and I think that it, part of the reason it was close was because of how confusing it was written. Ballot language needs to change. We've been saying it for a long time, but you need to send this off to a local author and have them dumb it down for everybody, because that's the best way to let people know what they're truly voting for. Let me just read this, okay? Tell me if you know what the hell I'm talking about. This is how it read on your ballot. Without increasing property tax rates to help preserve funding for local districts that provide fire protection, police, ambulance, hospital, kindergarten through 12th grade education, and other services, and to avoid automatic mill levy increases, shall there be an amendment to the Colorado Constitution to repeal the requirement that the General Assembly periodically change the residential assessment rate in order to maintain the statewide proportion of residential property as compared to all other taxable property valued for property tax purposes, and repeal the non-residential property tax assessment rate of 29%. What? I know Ryan didn't know what I just said. Ryan read it and voted on it. And I know he had to go back and double look at it. I did too. The Gallagher repeal does pass, though, 57% to 43%. That was supported by a lot of key Democrats in the state. But there was what surprised me about that too, as we look at it, is that there weren't a lot of Republicans that were going against it, that were really fighting against the Gallagher repeal. We're working our way through. We're updating on what these numbers are where they sit as of now. The Amendment C, this is where Colorado voters get a little confusing to me. This is the conduct of charitable gaming. This means that if you're a nonprofit, instead of being in place for 5 years, this would move to 3 years where you could hire an outside party to run a bingo game for you, and you couldn't pay that manager, whoever runs that, you couldn't pay them more than minimum wage. This is just allows nonprofits to delegate and to hire this out. It is leading currently 52 to 48%, but still too close to call. The national popular vote. This in large part makes Colorado's electoral votes not important, because now after Prop 113 passes, and it did 52 to 48%, now these 9 electoral votes from Colorado will go to whoever wins the general election, which it makes Colorado now. I mean, we're a blue state, right? We live in a blue state. But what this means now, and I think what could backfire, because I see this as a very short-sighted amendment proposition passed by Democrats, because in the last couple of elections, the Democrat has won the popular vote every time. But what I don't think they realize is that Republicans can win the popular vote for presidency. Now, not this year, clearly, but going forward, that will happen. In this country, there will be a Republican who wins the popular vote, and that means he or she will get 9 electoral votes from Colorado now. Doesn't matter. That did get voted through. Prop 114. We're working our way through this here. That was the reintroduction of gray wolves into Colorado. We are just getting word that that has passed. It was, I mean, within 20,000 votes here today, and they have officially declared that the Prop 114 will and has passed. So that's going to be a controversial one, and I want to talk to Chris about this. I think it's interesting is that Chris, he put out on his Twitter today that he started his his job in journalism in Wyoming when this happened, and it's a pretty touchy subject, and I don't think a lot of people see that. I think that they just say, ooh, wolves, that's cool, and I don't think they understand the real implications that come from reintroducing wolves. There's wolves here in Colorado already, but reintroducing them and increasing this is not good for farmers, for ranchers, for anybody other than the people who want to step out on their balcony at night and hear wolves. Play it on your phone. That's a frustrating one, especially from my stance of coming up on a ranch. Livestock is hard enough to take care of the way it is. You don't need wolves getting into it. That's a tough one. That's a tough pill to swallow. Prop 115, that's the 22-week abortion ban. It gets voted down with a 59% no vote. Prop 116, that's the state income tax of reducing taxes. That with a resounding yes. That one's very straightforward. Do you want to pay less taxes? Sure. Let's cut it down. That one passes 58-42. Prop 117, they still have not called this one. It's still relatively close, but it looks like Prop 117 will pass 53-47. That's another confusing one. Fee-based enterprises, pretty much when a government organization makes enough money, they have to be audited in a different way. Let's get that pulled up. The specifics of Prop 117, so I can be thorough with this. Shall there be a change to the Colorado revised statutes requiring statewide voter approval at the next even year election of any newly created or qualified state enterprises that is exempt from the Tabor, the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, Article X, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution, if the projected or actual combined revenue from fees and surcharges of the enterprise and all other enterprises created within the last 5 years that serve primarily the same purpose is greater than $100 million. Simply put, a yes vote on Prop 117 requires voter approval for no new state government enterprises with fee revenue over $100 million in the first 5 years. What it means is that you couldn't just have a government agency and a government found enterprise just go and take off and not have approval from the voters. So that is leading right now. The last one, Prop 118, paid family leave, that passes with a 57% vote on that. Again, not necessarily a confusing one, but and this is the economic conservative coming out of me. How the hell are we going to pay for this? Because taxes will have to go up. It's 118 will create an insurance program to provide paid family and medical leave benefits to eligible employees in Colorado, funded by premiums paid by employers and employees. That's going to kill businesses. Prop EE, nicotine tax, tobacco tax. Gail was calling it a sin tax. It's ridiculous. I mean, this is just going after one person or somebody's vice of choice, and nicotine does get an increased tax by a resounding 68% yes vote on that. So that's what the statewide ballot initiatives look like. Let's take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk with Linda from Field of Dreams. She's with the city of Fort Lupton. They're putting it on. It's in Fort Lupton off the corner of Highway 52 and Highway 85. That'll be coming up here, starting on Saturday. Let's talk to Linda when we come back. It's NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Morning traffic news and weather on Mornings with Gail. Now back to NoCo Now on 1310 KFKA.
Here she's gonna say, morning, morning.
Welcome back into NoCo Now on this Thursday afternoon. This is the idea of NoCo Now. It's to talk about really cool events that I find out there, really great community events, talk with the people who are putting it on to get that word out there. This is part of NoCo Now. Now, with 2020, I know we haven't had a ton of events to roll through, but this one so far might be the one that I'm the most excited to talk about, and it is the Fort Lupton Field of Honor 2020. To discuss more, it is Linda Kudernaw, and she is with the City of Fort Lupton, but also the public relations for Field of Honor. Linda, thank you so much for joining us. I know we've been having to kind of reschedule and schedule some things, so I'm very excited to get a chance to catch up with you.
Yes, thank you for having me, Tanner.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I mentioned some of the details earlier, the opening ceremony coming up on Saturday. We'll dive into all of that. But Linda, for somebody who has not heard of Field of Honor, what is it?
So our Field of Honor event is a community event that we are hosting. And basically it allows folks to purchase a flag in the honor of veterans, past and present, first responders, and also frontline workers. And, of course, we all know that's essential today.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we are going to be displaying 1,000 flags.
Wow.
At our community ballpark complex, which is Pearson Park,
okay,
located off of Highway 85 and Highway 52 in Fort Lupton. And like I said, we ordered 1,000 flags, and we weren't sure if we, you know, would reach that goal of actually selling those flags and dedicating all of those flags. But as of today, we have dedicated about 920 flags. So it really exceeded our expectations.
That is incredible, Linda. Congratulations to you. And again, that, I mean, I know that speaks volumes of this Northern Colorado community as well. But so 80 flags left. Anybody out there listening? So they can. There's still time to sponsor a flag and be able to donate it. Is that right?
Well, unfortunately, Tanner, because there's so much legwork,
okay,
that it takes to laminate and flag tag those flags, unfortunately, we had to have a cutoff point. So we made that cutoff point today.
Okay. So it was leading up. See, shoot, if I would have got to you to a day earlier, Linda, then we would have been there. But 920 flags, that's still an incredible amount. And so where does that money kind of go, Linda? Why would people want to donate? Because I do know that you can still donate. I see you still got that button right here on your website that you can check it out as well. But talk to us more about this event, not just in Fort Lupton, because this is everywhere as well, correct?
Well, it is a national event, yes. However, Fort Lupton community is the only one in doing this in our state.
Okay.
I think the closest one to us may be Utah that have had the Field of Honor event, but we are the only one in the state doing this. In terms of our sponsorship money, we exceeded our expectations there as well. Our community organizations, also outside organizations, they were very, very generous in their sponsorship. And, of course, we have 1,000 flags to pay for. And,
right,
of course, there's always your logistics that you need to pay for, stages, tables, chairs, etc. So, you know, we will have, of course, money left over, and that money will go back towards our senior programs, because our senior advisory committee, as well as some other community members, they're the ones that have done a lot of this legwork.
Right. That's awesome. We're talking with Linda Kudernaw. She's the public relations chair for this Field of Honor event coming up. Okay. So starting this Saturday, 1 p.m., it's going to be the opening ceremony. What is that going to look like for people who are trying to plan out what they're going to be doing this weekend?
You bet. We've actually, folks have been able to go on our website. There's a special link to the event that gives a lot of information. We do ask for the ceremonies for folks to RSVP, and there's actually three ceremonies. The first one, as you indicated, is this Saturday with the opening ceremony starting at 1 o'clock. However, due to the restrictions that we have on the number that we can have for events, we are already at our max.
That's a good problem to have, right?
You're right. It is. We have to keep that positive perspective for
right,
sure.
Right.
And then, but there's also two other ceremonies if they'd like to still RSVP for those, and that's going to be Wednesday, November 11th, which will be Veterans Day, and then Saturday, November 14th, will be the closing ceremony, and we still have room for those dates.
Well, how can people RSVP to enjoy those ceremonies on November 11th, which, again, is Veterans Day, 1 p.m., and then Saturday, November 14th at 1 p.m., which is going to be the closing ceremony for this?
You bet. They can actually jump on the city's website, which is Fort Lupton. Let's see. City of Fort Lupton, co.gov, and there is a link that will take you to Field of Honor, and they can go directly to that, and then we'll see an RSVP link.
Perfect. Linda, that sounds great. And quick question, is this the first time that you guys have done this event?
Oh, yes. This is our first time, and the way it came about, Tanner, is one of our senior advisory members actually saw this event take place in Mesquite, Nevada, and was so impressed with it and just left her with a sense of pride and joy, and she brought it to the attention of our committee, and we thought, you know, we could do this. And I think the timing of it is perfect with what's going on in our world.
It absolutely is, and it can still kind of put things in perspective. It can, for lack of a better term, you know, kind of humble people as well to realize no matter what's going on, the long term ramifications that we're all still Americans, and we still need to honor and support those who serve and protect us.
For sure.
Linda, we appreciate your time greatly. Is there anything else that we need to, any other information that we need to get out there to our listeners? I know you said this is your first year. It sounds like you guys are doing just some incredible things with it already. So I'm sure we'll be having the same conversation next year as it comes back around. But any further information that you want to get out there to our listeners regarding this year's Field of Honor event?
Yes, Tanner. Maybe one other plug. So folks can come out and just enjoy the display of the flags, and that can take place Sunday, November 8th through next Saturday, November 14th, and those times will be from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Awesome. So even if there's not a ceremony, and there's pictures up on the website as well, and,
yeah,
and you can look at it. It's incredible, and again, humbling, really, to look at all of these flags that are out there. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., November 8th through November 14th. Again, right off Highway 52 and Highway 85 in Fort Lupton. Load the kids up and go for a little bit of a drive and check this out. An incredible event. Healingfield.org/event/Fort Lupton. You'll be able to check this out as well. We'll be sharing this on our Facebook page as well. But Linda, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much to you. And I know there's a lot of people who have been helping you along
you
with
bet.
All of this. Thank you so
yes,
much for putting
hands
it on.
Involved.
Right. More hands means less work, Linda. And we appreciate it. Northern Colorado appreciates you putting all this work together. And we can't wait to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Tanner. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. That is Linda Kudernas. She is the public relations chair for the Field of Honor. It really is cool. And again, I don't just let, you know, any organization on here and just anything like that. This event is going to be something special, and we are very much happy to be a part of it and to get a chance to promote it. With that, 4:34 now, let's take a break. Want to save some time here because we've got an extensive conversation with Chris Vanderveen, a director of reporting for 9 News, coming up on the other side. This is NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Let's get to the bottom of the hour news and weather center.
NOCO Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Now, welcome back in. I am Tanner Schwinn. This is NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Ryan Kelly doing the production work, as always, here in the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Not a shortage of topics to discuss, a lot of serious ones that we're going to dive right into here. And to help me break it down, as we always appreciate his insight, it is Chris Vanderveen, the director of reporting for 9 News. Chris, when we thought 2020 couldn't get any crazier, this might be the craziest week we've had in 2020.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's just the news has never stopped this year. We talk about it almost feels like being on the end of a fire hose, and it continues. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of really serious news going on. So we just kind of have to take it one story at a time.
Yeah, well, let's do that, and let's start first with the presidential election. Obviously, it's taking a while. There's already legal implications coming in. My question to you, though, Chris, is, and I think I saw you get posed this question on social media earlier, the people who are coming out and saying that it's rigged, and then on the opposite side, the people are saying, well, that's just crazy Republicans, this and that. I have this feeling that the truth's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I think, and we'll, I mean, that we have the benefit of time. I mean, anybody who lived through the 2000 election, I mean, there was a lot longer time that went by with that one, and now we're sort of seeing it play out again. Where there's some question we didn't know who won on election night. There was a lot of talk beforehand that was going to be the case, and so just have to sort of be patient and sort of, you know, we may learn a lot in the next hour or so. President's supposed to speak not too long. He's supposed to speak probably about 9 minutes ago, but the president's going to speak. We heard Joe Biden speak earlier in the day, and so we'll kind of have to kind of write it out a little bit.
So we've talked a lot about the national media and how they've conducted themselves throughout the COVID-19 crisis and everything that goes into that. How do you think the media has handled the reporting on these very serious issues with the presidential election?
Well, here's my thought, and I mentioned this online not that long ago, where there's this idea that is the national press a bit out of touch with what's going on in the country, and I think the numbers that played out when you saw, even if the president ends up losing this, it was a large number of people in this country voted for the president, and that can't be ignored. There is a movement going on in this country that can't be ignored because of what's going on. And I think if you found yourself terribly surprised that this was a close election, then I think you weren't paying close attention to what's going on in the country. This is a very divided country. There are people on both sides that are angry and fed up. And if you assume that your side is right, you're just not paying attention. There are a lot of people on the other side that feel the opposite way that you do.
Right, and I think that you nailed it right there, Chris. And that can sometimes be displayed in the different media outlets. As I was watching and hosting election night coverage on the TV, flipping it back and forth from Fox to CNN to all of these different locations, but not taking anything other than the AP general election results to be reporting from. So the coverage to me was just fascinating to watch on these different formats.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is that you had Fox call Arizona so quickly,
right?
And that really clearly bothered the president. and I think it's going to bother him for quite some time. And the question is now, what happens to that Fox-Trump relationship moving forward?
Yeah, that's a great question to be posed as well, and we'll see what comes from it. But let's shift gears a little bit, Chris, and talk about some of these local ballot measures. There's some that are still a little too close to call, but the one in particular that I wanted to talk to you about, which I believe is now being reported that it has been called in favor for the reintroduction of gray wolves into Colorado. You've had some experience with this, with this specific measure. But also you've had experience in other states with the reintroduction of wolves.
Yeah, my first job in television was up in Casper, Wyoming, and spent a number of years up there. It was shortly after the start of the reintroduction program at Yellowstone National Park. And at the time, this didn't get a lot of attention nationally, but there was a judge in Casper who ruled the program unconstitutional. He stayed his order knowing that it would be appealed, but there was at least some period where there was a thought that possibly the wolf reintroduction program could get scuttled by a judge. And so at that time I did a series of stories in Wyoming about the reintroduction program, and it was fascinating to me because it is a very serious topic, a very emotional topic up in Wyoming, and I suspect it's going to be the same case here in Colorado. It always sort of bothered me. There was a lot of people along the Front Range sort of making jokes about wolves and that type of thing. This was a ballot question that was decided in large part because of people who live along the Front Range, but the implications of it will not necessarily be felt immediately along the Front Range. It's going to be other parts of the state and where they're going to have to deal with it directly. And I think because of that, we owe it along the Front Range to pay more attention to the issue and become better versed in the subject, because it is a very serious subject that has far-reaching implications for the state of Colorado. And whether you believe in it or not, it is a very emotional issue on both sides of it. People feel very passionate about it, whether you want to see wolves or you don't want to see wolves. And I don't want to see any member of the press sort of downplaying that.
Right. And I think that's another great point, Chris, because here in Northern Colorado, you do have a lot of those, the ranching background. You have a lot of those people who deal with livestock that could potentially be directly impacted by this. And I think on a broader scale, talking about the Northern Colorado and the Front Range and the decision making that goes there, that's why you can see some sort of differences in the way that they vote. But my question is, has it been said where these wolves will be reintroduced, or have they not put that plan together yet? What does that look like?
I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I'm not really super well-versed in how that's going to all work out. I suppose we're going to have some time to sort of figure that out. But if and when it does happen, it's going to get a lot of attention. And it's sort of a novel idea in general anyways, that you could have a ballot question to reintroduce what was once an endangered species in this part of the country. And now you've got, you sort of by ballot measure, you're bringing in and reintroducing to a state. Now, many, many long, long time ago, wolves were in Colorado, but minus the wayward wolf that came down from Wyoming, came down from Yellowstone in the last couple of years, of which we saw some in northern Colorado, we have not had wolves in the state of Colorado.
With Chris Vanderveen, Director of Reporting for 9 News. Chris, on a wider scale on that Colorado ballot, was there anything that kind of caught you off guard or that surprised you on maybe it was too close, maybe closer than you expected, or maybe it was a little bit wider of a margin than you expected?
No, I think it kind of went along this idea that while Colorado is trending more towards Democrats when it comes to candidates, we saw that in the presidential race. We certainly saw that in the race for Senate.
Right.
There are still fiscal conservatives in this state who are paying close attention and sort of voting that way. But we have been sort of that confusing state, if you will, where we're sort of difficult to pin down. Where it's sort of, we're not, while some people believe otherwise, I don't think we're California. In terms of our politics, we're more complicated than that, and I think that's going to play itself out in the next few years as well.
Prop 113, the popular vote. What are your just general takeaways on that? On what that means long term and the ramifications on what those electoral votes could mean now going forward?
Who knows? I mean, I think it's a long shot at best that we're ever going to see a day and time in the United States where the presidential election is decided by popular vote. Clearly, a number of states like Colorado have now sort of joined the compact to sort of say, hey, we would like that. But it doesn't, it goes beyond that. There's a higher threshold than that, and it's going to have to sort of rest in the country as a whole to see if that's going to happen. I personally, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Certainly, a lot of people want to see it. You're having an election play out right now that is very, very close on the electoral vote. On the electoral vote meter, but from a popular vote standpoint, Biden is winning by millions and millions of votes. And so that's there's an obvious reason why some people want to see the popular vote be the way we decide the president. But at the same time, it's historically not been the way that we do it. I personally believe that the Electoral College does give some power to smaller states, less populated states, even states like Colorado. And so it'll be interesting to see that play out as well.
All right, Chris, one last non-COVID question for you before we switch gears a little bit. We did see a protest happen down in Denver. Can you give us some more specifics about what that was all about? I know that there were some arrests made.
Yeah, I believe there were 8 arrests that were made. It was a relatively small protest. I think the question moving forward is, are you going to see any more of that? Does it fizzle out or does it get larger? And I guess I'm not smart enough to figure out where it goes from now. I suppose it depends on what takes place on a national scale as well.
Talking with Chris Vanderveen, Director of Reporting for 9 News. I guess I should have got the bad news out of the way first, Chris. Let's talk COVID-19 numbers. We just passed a major milestone here today in Colorado.
Yeah, and we've sort of been, and it's not necessarily surprising. I've been anticipating it for like the last 2 weeks that we would, some point in this week, we would see us climb past the high water mark of COVID positive patients in the state of Colorado. That was back in April when we saw 888 patients in the state of Colorado. Now we're at 894, I believe, just slightly higher than that today. Here's the deal. If we only had 894 patients in Colorado hospitals for the days and weeks moving forward, COVID-positive patients, we would be okay. The hospital capacity is there to handle that number of patients. People like to say, look, there's over 5 million people in the state of Colorado. If we only have 894 patients, that's not a big deal. But it's the trend. I talked to you about this earlier in the week. It's the trend in where this is going and where does this end. Right now, we're seeing caseloads in a way that suggests that we're still 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks away from seeing the high water mark for hospitalizations. We're adding roughly 40 to 60 patients a day in the state's hospital system. So you start to do the math and you realize in another week we're going to be, you know, you're adding close to 200, 250 patients a week. And that's going up at a higher rate as the weeks go by. So we're now talking about not just 894, but north of 1,000 by some point early next week. And that's the concern, is where does it end? Where do we see the crest of this mountain? And we don't see it right now.
What does it look like across the state? I mean, is there any counties that are doing good, or are they all slipping backwards?
Well, I thought what was interesting for me today is that you have, I'm going to look it up so I don't mess it up, Mesa County. Mesa County was an example not that long ago over Grand Junction, over on the Western Slope, of a county that had been doing well. It moved to green on the color-coded scale for the state of Colorado, which meant that's new too now. Yeah. They gave them some wide variability in what they could do. So here's what's happening. November 6th, which is 2 days from now, Mesa County is going to move to orange, which is the same level that Denver is in right now, which means the 25% capacity issues. So in a short period of time, Mesa County has gone from sort of the, hey, we're doing things great, we're moving forward, to, uh-oh, we're in trouble, we're now moving back to this orange level. That's a very big deal for any county that right now that thinks they're immune from the possibility that they're going to have to see more restrictions. Look at what happened in Mesa County, and it will tell you that things can go south fairly quickly, and that's what you're seeing right now.
Right, and what I was saying there, Chris, is that they've changed it. Instead of 1, 2, and 3, now it's green, yeah, blue, yellow, and orange, and red now.
Yeah, I think they realized that it was tough for me to describe it to people. You basically had five different levels, but within the middle you had one, two, and three. So they just realized it's probably better to simplify it. Now you've got the green, the blue, the yellow, orange, and red. And what's happening right now is that a lot of counties are in yellow, counties that were in yellow are moving to orange. The million-dollar question is, does anybody move to red? And red is the stage you do not want to be in. It is essentially the lockdown phase, and you're not seeing it. No county in Colorado right now is red, but I talked to CDPHE about this yesterday. I asked this question, is it an option? And I think while no one wants to do it, no one wants to put a county in that position because economically it's going to be devastating. But they're telling the counties, hey, look, listen, if you don't start to reverse some of these numbers, we're going to have all options on the table. And one of those options is moving you to red. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens. We now have a number of counties that are going to be orange, and really the only phase after that is red.
Talking with Chris Vanderveen, Director of Reporting for 9 News, COVID updates. CU Boulder's moving all to online. The lone bright spot, it seems here, Chris, Larimer County is moving to safer at home yellow. So Larimer County moving up. Hopefully we start to see more of these counties start to move back in that direction. But so you're starting to see some of these restrictions being put into place, even maybe at more of a local level than just the county. Different organizations, universities starting to say, okay, here's how we can help.
Yeah, I mean the challenge has always been for schools. Schools desperately want, administrators definitely desperately want schools to remain open. It has proved to be a very, as I knew it would be months ago, it has proven to be a very, very large challenge, particularly with the spread that you're seeing right now. You're definitely seeing uncontrolled spread in the state of Colorado. And because of that, when they set up their metrics about when they would close or when they would go back to remote, they set them in an area that was fairly low, and now they've moved past that, and they're in trouble. And so they're realizing, like, oh, yeah, maybe we have to go back to where we were. And it's not a decision that I think administrators wanted to see, but it's a reality under the situation we have right now.
Chris, keep your head above water, my friend. We appreciate We appreciate you taking some more time with us. We'll talk again on Monday, okay?
Take care.
All right, thanks. That's Chris Vanderveen, Director of Reporting for 9 News. 4:53, closing in on 4:54. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side, wrap up the show for this Thursday afternoon. It's NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into NOCO Now. I am Tanner Schwint. Just a couple of minutes left here. We are happy to be with you. Thanks again to Chris Vanderveen for joining us, the Director of Reporting for 9 News. As always, we appreciate Chris's insight. Do need to say thanks to a couple of people here, Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. They've got locations in Eaton and in Greeley. They've got the blood flow restriction therapy going right now. Learn more about it, proactivecolorado.com. I will say I did go eat lunch at the tavern at St. Michael's Square yesterday and had the patty melt. They had a special going on with the patty melt. I've got half of it still sitting here, so looking forward to enjoying that after the program here tonight. So if we can we get the headline that caught my eye? Can we get to that here, Ryan, in just a second? I've got one for us. I know we haven't had a headline that caught my eye in just a minute, but here we go. The headline that caught my eye is this presidential race. We are now waiting on five states. You know, everyone expects Alaska to go to Trump, 50% in. He's leading by 29 points in Alaska, so that will go red. The one that matters right now is Nevada. Nevada is the state that has 76% reporting. Joe Biden leads by 1 point. At the start of the day, Nevada was reporting 75%. So we now have 1% more reporting. If Joe Biden wins Nevada, Joe Biden wins the presidency, unless something happens with the legal lawsuits that have been put into place in Wisconsin and Michigan. So if Donald Trump, President Trump, wins Nevada, he can win all the states that he's leading in, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. Razor thin margins. But if he holds on, Donald Trump will be reelected. And we still won't know. It's still going to be, a very, very close race. That'll about do it for us as we wrap up NOCO Now. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Thursday night football coming your way here on 1310 KFK. For Ryan Kelly, I am Tanner Schwint. We'll be back again tomorrow. Let's talk to Matt Makins. What's in the weather forecast coming up over the weekend? It's been gorgeous out there, but will it continue? We'll talk to Matt Makins. We'll get back to news for Northern Colorado. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane. This will do it for us. NOCO Now, presented by J9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.